Time now for your comments. Listeners often call us about our pronunciations or mispronunciations. Mac McBride wrote that Jeff London's present at the creation story on the Marx Brothers movie A Night at the Opera was absolutely ruined for him when Mr. London referred to one of the Marx Brothers as Chico instead of Chico. But this time, we were right. Actor Frank Ferrante, who has played Groucho, tells the story of the night the brothers got their nicknames. It was during a card game involving the Marx Brothers and another comic on the circuit.
And he shoots a card out to Leonard. Here you go, Leonard. He calls him Chico. And the reason he got the name Chico is because he chased the chicks, which was a turn-of-the-century expression for women, the slang.
Also this week, Susan Stamberg and music commentator Miles Hoffman offered a primer on Handel's Messiah. They marveled at how it took Handel maybe 3 weeks to write. While that's technically true, it's not the whole truth. Joan Murray of Old Chatham, New York, wrote to add, it was Charles Jennens who wrote the famous words of the famous oratorio. Jennens selected and adapted scriptural passages to create the work and then pitched it to Handel. While no one would deny Handel's genius, few of us would get such a charge from the Messiah if we couldn't sing along with Jennens' words. And John Itzty recently interviewed Laura Betterly, a woman dubbed the Spam Queen, because of the bulk email she sends. She says if people don't want to receive her emails, they can unsubscribe. That prompted many angry responses, including one from Cheryl Loffley of Seattle.
Perhaps Ms. Betterly does remove addresses upon request, but she surely must know that other spammers use the remove my name function as a means of determining if an email is valid. When a reply is made to any spam, that tells the sender that they have a live one, so it's worth sending further emails.
The Spam Queen also inspired Derek Balling of Port Ewan, New York, to suggest a tongue-in-cheek business of his own. Quote, I'd perhaps like to start a practice of permission-based burglary, where I'll send a piece of mail to everyone in the neighborhood, and if they don't opt out of my permission-based burglary, I'll believe they've consented to my rifling through their possessions. And earlier this week, Susan Stamberg interviewed two authors who are writing essays for a State Department anthology on what it means to be an American. Susan mentioned that the anthology is prohibited by law from being made available in America. Liam Kennedy wrote to say that he couldn't find that law on the books. It's the Smith-Mundt Act of 1948, created to keep the government from propagandizing the American people. But the law has not kept up with technology. While the book won't be sold in the U.S., the essays are available on the web. A State Department spokesman says, by way of explanation, we do not provide that address to U.S. citizens. Susan's most recent installment in her series on peace, Raising Boys to Be Peacemakers, included the suggestion from a family psychologist that camp counselors and teachers give boys the kinds of hands-on care, like back rubs, that they give girls. And Jonathan Perry of Boise, Idaho writes, if I, as a male camp counselor, were rubbing the backs of my boys, as used in the example, I would probably be fired, then sued by a parent for making passes at boys. And now, in this holiday season, we're on to goodwill toward men and women. We've been thinking about all the good deeds people do for each other during the holidays and all year, and we'd like to hear your stories about truly remarkable acts of generosity, the kind of good deeds that are gifts of the heart and spirit. So please write and tell us about the most amazing good deeds that you've experienced or known. And you can email those stories to gooddeeds@npr.org.
Gotta keep those loving vibrations of heaven and women.